It's 8:03, time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. And not like blowout like you get done with your hair, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
8:03, as Katie just said, Sean Salisbury will join us in a couple minutes. We'll talk to him about paying players. He played at USC, also former NFL quarterback. He can talk about Tony Romo. The breaking news here is that he will forego the rest of his career, apparently. And become an announcer. I love somebody on, I'll give Twitter credit for this, who said, yeah, but the deal will most likely be for Romo to only call regular season games.
Yikes. He's going to take the fourth quarter off.
Someone on Twitter saying yesterday, Katie's fighting for the sanctity of the game by not tanking it today. She wants to pay college kids to play basketball.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Trying to figure out what the point is.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Here's a guy that played a little bit of college ball. Oh, and he played in the NFL as well, the Mad Backer himself, Adrian Ross. We got Sean Salisbury around the corner, but anytime Adrian calls, we're going to get him on. What's up, buddy?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Well, good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great.
What do you think about, you wanted to talk about paying players.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that for me, looking at it and studying it for a while, and, you know, obviously having played, is the pay should come from the networks. You know, a lot of people are stuck on the school, and they're thinking it because you say college players, everybody keeps thinking about college.
Right.
And it's like we have to move beyond the college. It's who are you working for? Who are you entertaining for? And it's the networks that have the money. We need to get off the subject of the school paying them. It's I'm performing on TV. The network, that's what everybody's watching them on. They should be, the third party is the one that should be paying them.
I completely agree, but here's my question. Adrian, you went to Colorado State. So are we paying you, who goes to Colorado State, the same as we're paying a guy who goes to Florida State, or USC?
That would be subjective to the market of what day and what network you're playing on.
But that also basically takes most women athletics out of it.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
It's for basketball. It's like, yes, women's basketball in college is on TV way more than other sports. Like, you're not going to see the gymnasts or the tennis players or the track. Like, it's not the same. But I mean.
Well, the women should get paid a percentage of whatever their TV deal is then, right?
Nothing.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Okay, but here's the thing. They put in the same amount of time and work, but and I said this earlier, one of my problems with this is quit putting stipulations on whether or not these athletes can have outside jobs. But also, it's like you get your scholarship paid for, which is great to a certain extent, but if they're capping your ability to work outside and then they're also saying, hey, I need you 40 hours a week to be at study hall.
You're essentially
hall
working at, your way through college. You're paying off your scholarship.
Yeah, you're working it off,
how
but you're also not
it?
Able to work because right. they don't let you.
Adrian, what do you think?
I don't get what you're saying, Katie. It's like, okay, just last weekend, softball was on TV, gymnastics was on TV. They're all going to get paid for that. There's nothing different but them getting a pool of money. The same thing it is right now, but now some of the pool of money that's already been there is going to the player. I mean, it's going to the athlete. There's nothing changes.
But let me ask you this: if the contract with college softball and ESPN is for $100,000 a year, I'm just using arbitrary numbers, Adrian, but $100,000 a year, and the contract for college football and ESPN is $2 billion a year. Are we okay with women softball players getting paid $3 a month as opposed to college football players getting paid $3,000 a month?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, that's how it is now. It's just because it's like now if they had that many more people in that time slot that their game was on that upped their value, that, you know what I mean? It's just market value of the time slot and the channel that they're playing on, just like anything else. It's just those.
Yeah, but that's not really fixing the problem.
Like, what's the problem?
The problem is that if you look at these athletes, that they're getting for the most part, it's different, Adrian, between football and like gymnastics for women, right? There's no difference in terms of the amount of time that they're required to put in, and there's no difference in terms of the stipulations that the NCAA puts on them for them being able to have a job or and support themselves outside of just their school and their meals getting paid for. So the system is broken. I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, have the networks pay for it, and then it'll break up. It still doesn't solve a lot of the other problems.
And then I'm asking you, what problem is that? Because it sounds like you're trying to say a fairness problem. And
no,
it's not
I'm
fair
saying
now.
They put in the same amount of time, right? And so
and they're getting less now.
Yeah.
So is it fair now?
No, it's not. But I what I'm saying is
right.
that
I'm not talking about okay. fair. Because it'll never be.
I'm not
fair.
Talking about fair either in terms of fair pay. I'm talking about in terms of other things.
Let me cut in here. Sean Salisbury's waiting on deck, and we got to go to him. Adrian, why don't you come on with us tomorrow? Let's have an extended conversation. You want to call in tomorrow?
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
7:35 or 8:05 for you. We're going to book this right now.
On air.
7:35 or 8:05. Which is better for you, buddy?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Okay. We'll do 7:35 tomorrow morning. We'll get you up early so we got an advantage.
All right. Perfect. Yeah, appreciate you guys.
I appreciate you, brother. All right. That is Adrian Ross. Adrian's going to come on tomorrow. Let's get Sean Salisbury on while Matt's dialing him out. We'll fit Bill in. Bill, welcome in. You got about 30 seconds, buddy. I want to get you in before Sean.
Students shouldn't be paid to play sports in college. They go to college to go to college and get
no.
an education.
No, they don't.
Wrong.
No, they don't.
Wrong.
No, they
Wrong.
Don't.
Well, then,
no.
they should just go overseas and play and get paid over there.
Hey, guess what? You are not allowed to impose your educational values on them. They're not there to go to school. They don't view it the same way as you. Deal with it. The money's there.
Where should the money go, Bill?
To play for a network or to get paid by a network, that will never work because if they have to start paying players, they'll stop.
No. What would happen is somebody asked us on the text line. What would happen is the network would pay the NCAA, then the NCAA and what would
a percentage of the players' union.
The money is already there.
Yeah, agreed. It would just be a percentage.
Well, there'll be less money to go to the NCAA, and they're not going to like that.
Why do we care about that?
That's what the overriding problem is. Is we're saying the NCAA.
Why are you sticking up for the NCAA? Why are you dying on their hill?
I'm just saying that if they have to start paying more money for players, they're going to pick up less games.
All right, we got to go to Sean. Thank you, Bill. We got to go to Sean because Sean is sitting there waiting. And here's the thing. Sean Salisbury, by the way, he played football at USC. I think he played baseball, too. Sean Salisbury played every damn sport. He played at USC. He played professionally in the NFL. So, Sean, let's just get running here because we're running late. That's our fault. Sean, should NCAA players, specifically basketball and football, be paid? Number one. And number two, how do you get around or do you need to get around whether or not it would be equitable between sports and between genders?
Well, you know what? I'm all for equal pay when it's equal. Makes sense. Let's just put it this way. If I were to line up, let's say, this has nothing to do with what I prefer. Let's say we use Texas A&M, for example. When you put the men's football team, when you line up on Saturday, how many people show up to that stadium? 105,000, 100,000 every Saturday?
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about the men's basketball team. You line up 10,000. Let's talk about the 4-H club. They ain't selling, maybe in Texas they might. You're not putting 100,000 people in the 4-H club on a Saturday at 1 o'clock selling out. So, I mean, when we talk about equal pay, and if you're talking about players as well, I mean, does the backup point guard bring as much to the university as the starting quarterback? No, he doesn't. Now, if we're talking UConn basketball, hell yes. The players, Geno, I get it. I'm not just talking about sex to sex, gender. I'm talking about the whole program to program, men to men. I mean, while there has got to be a way, yes, first of all, yes, they should be paid.
Right.
Yes. And when people say, well, the little guys, you know, the slippery rocks of the world aren't going to be in the same position as the USC's. Well, yeah, you're right. But
they're not already, right, Sean?
What's that?
I mean, they're already not.
That's exactly right. So, this kind of, you're going to hear somebody that's going to call in after we get off this or during it or text you or tweet you guys saying, that's ridiculous. They get a free education. No. And I'll use me for example. I didn't get a free education. Well, every other kid was taking vacation
My dad, once I started to play summer basketball or summer football, I said, you know, you're not missing one practice. We're not going on summer vacation because when you commit to a team, you're playing. So while every other kid was going on beach vacations and all that, I was playing three sports, football, basketball, baseball, during the summer in three different leagues. And so, and I had to go to class, and I had to earn my education. And then when I got to USC, I had to schedule my classes around football. I had to take early morning 8 a.m. classes or late at night classes and prepare as a football. So I don't want to hear the academia, because I'm all about student athlete, but I don't want to hear the academia saying, well, because you can't work during football season, the athletes can't. Other people can that are on scholarship academically. I don't want to hear somebody say, well, you got a free education. Screw you. No, I didn't. I earned every damn bit of that education, and I earned every bit of the scholarship. We never bitch at the guy who gets the academic scholarship but wasn't good enough to play sports. We don't ever complain at that person. What about the student that's a 3.5 student that goes to Stanford and also played three sports in high school and now is going to go play football or baseball or basketball at Stanford and still have to keep a 3.5 or 3.6 because that's what their family demanded? So I don't want to hear about every time I hear someone, you got a free. No, I didn't get a free education. I earned it, just like the student, like the student does. They got an academic scholarship. They earned it too. The difference between me and the academic scholarship, or the quarterback at Stanford, or the running back at Pitt, is they also had to play football and schedule their classes around their academic schedule. So it all equals. And I'm not saying we should be held in higher regard, but you know what? The coaches can do what they want. They get paid by Nike and the rest of it. If they're sponsored, they get extra money. You're damn right, Clay. Now, I don't mean hand-to-hand cash, and I don't know how you would control it, but there's got to be a way, a stipend or money that they – you know, for instance, with Manziel, use him as an example. All the jerseys he sold, even though he's a big butthead, all the jerseys he sold at A&M that they're making money off, why shouldn't they take a percentage of his jersey sales and put it in an account for him so when he comes out, that money, he gets a percentage of the jersey sales. Why isn't that allowed? And I understand that the guy at Bowling Green's not getting the same as the guy at Alabama.
Oh, well.
You know what? Everybody doesn't get a trophy, man. That's the way it works. Sorry.
Well, it's kind of like...
The more you make more. That's the pecking order of life, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like LeBron makes more money than the 15th guy on an NBA roster for a reason. Yes. And when people talk, Sean, about, oh, well, you are getting paid because you're playing for your scholarship, and that is you getting paid to be an athlete. Well, okay, I have two jobs right now. I do this radio show, and I do the Kings broadcast. So if I were just working the radio show and they said, sorry, you can only have one job. My problem with them is that they pay these players by giving them a scholarship to play, and that's how their education is their payment. But they also put all of these unrealistic caps and expectations on them to say, well, we're not going to allow you to do X, Y, Z because you work for us. And so, therefore, we're going to benefit from this more than you are.
And if we're going by that rule, Katie, if we're going by the rule you're talking about, that they call it they're paying us because we're on scholarship, then I should be able to get any job I want and every endorsement.
Exactly.
If somebody calls me up and says, hey, Sean, there's a computer company, you know, Apple Computers. If you're the best college quarterback in the country, I'd like you to come and give a speech for $50,000 for an hour to talk about leadership to my corporation, to my sales staff.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, why shouldn't we be allowed to do that then, if that's the case, if they're talking about that? So, but when we say, well, they're paying you to be on scholarship, but why don't we say that about the academic student? The student gets an academic full academic scholarship. Why aren't we saying that about them? And the difference between – now, they're going to go on.
Because no one's jealous of a nerd. Everyone's jealous of an athlete.
Well, you just hit the perfect thing. Say that again.
Jealous? No one's jealous of a nerd. Everyone's jealous of an athlete.
Amen. Well, the bottom line, that nerd may be the owner of the company you end up working for.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But if you're gonna pee in my face, don't tell me it's raining. They're the biggest joke of a governing body ever. But they're going to keep making money. It even gets to the coach. The coach can up and leave Lane Kiffin from Tennessee to USC if he gets his dream job, and he gets paid more, and there's no punishment. But if a player, the coach leaves after his freshman year that he went to school for, made his first big decision of his damn life, and he went there to school because that coach recruited him and came into his living room and told his parents, and he was a 17-year-old, that I'm going to be your father away from home. I'm here for you. And then a year later gets his dream job and leaves. The kid's looking around saying, well, I went to Tennessee because I love Lane Kiffin.
Then they penalize the kid for wanting to leave.
Yes. And now the kid says, well, wait a minute. He leaves. Why can't I? No, dude, you got to sit out a year. Sorry. So I don't want – the kid gets completely – MC2A kid, student athlete, gets more hosed than anybody. So the academia, again, who calls in and says, no, they got a free education. No, they didn't get a free education. They earned it because they're a little bit more skilled as an athlete and also had to keep academic grades up to get that scholarship. So that argument does not bode well with me when I hear that crap, and I'm tired of it.
What about the idea, Sean, as Sean Salisbury joins us on KHTK, that these players aren't worth the value that we put on them because ultimately the fans are rooting for their alma mater, and it doesn't matter who you put in the jersey, they're going to pack that football stadium, say, every Saturday.
Agreed. But they still buy jerseys and they still show up. And I'll tell you, when they won't pack that stadium, start going 2-9 about 15 years in a row. They'll show up at Alabama. But, you know, there was a time in Alabama football when I think it was Mike DeBose, when they were struggling before Nick and all that, it wasn't the same now. And there was a time at SC when that Coliseum was half full. And I'm talking about as recent as 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's a time. So I do get it, but let's make no mistake about it. When you get in, like, friend, North Carolina basketball, you're right, they're going to show up there. But to have Roy Williams go, you know, 8-24, mm-hmm. 7 years in a row, and tell me that student athlete doesn't matter. And when you go over to that bookstore and you're buying Jackson's jersey, or when Michael played there, buying number his jersey. I mean, people could say all they want, they're going to show up, but eventually, winning begat fans showing up and spending money. Losing, coaches get fired, people don't show up, they find something else to do on a Saturday afternoon.
And that's kind of what I was getting at, Sean, is that, yeah, like, people are still going to root for that laundry, but at the same time, if it truly didn't matter at all, why are the Alabamas and North Carolinas chasing the best players? Because it does matter about winning.
Right, and why do we pay coaches? Why is Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban and those guys making $7 to $9 million a year? Because it does matter. And when the second you get what's the first thing we say at the end of recruiting? Oh, they were 27th on the recruiting class. They were 46th. What's wrong? But then you go get the great guys and you win. Ah, we got the number one recruiting class. There you go. So the players get hosed six ways of sending. And I'll tell you, and Jay Billis is the greatest advocate for players on the planet against the NCAA. And he's right. Somehow, some way, you know what? Hey, it's back to the everybody gets a trophy and the butthurt people there's a pecking order in life, man. Like you mentioned about LeBron, or I'm talking about you know what? Unfortunately, the guy that Bowling Green that didn't get recruited by Alabama, well, then he's going to have to understand that their scholarship check may be a little different than the dudes at USC. There's got to be a way to make sure that it's fair within reason. And I don't want hand-to-hand cash, but you know what? As long as we have these rules like this, trust me, every football program in the country or good basketball program in the country, some alumni, for the most part, is handing kids on that school. And I can remember when an alumni walked up to me. Right? We had an alum. He'd come take us to lunch and hand me $200 in cash and shake my hand and put it in my hand. You know why? Because he knew the $416 a month scholarship check that had to pay my rent and for my food during non-football season wasn't really enough to get by in Los Angeles. Yeah. He'd hand you a couple $100 so you could take your girlfriend out to a pizza and beer. And you know what? I don't regret it one bit, and neither does the kid at Michigan, Ohio State, SC now, who had an alumni walk up and say, hey, let me buy you lunch. Man, your TV looks screwed up. Man, you guys could use one of my extra TVs. Let me put it in your apartment. Okay? Those things do happen and will always continue to happen because they make it impossible for the student-athlete to get a job or to do the things. But they'll keep reaping the benefits of making a ton of money, and they'll put it in their pocket, and they'll rob Peter to pay Paul, but the quarterback or the center or the offensive guard or the best basketball player sitting there selling jerseys like hotcakes, and the school's reaping the benefit, and so is the company who printed the shirt.
Mm-hmm. Sean Salisbury joining us on KHTK. And, Sean, we've only got a couple minutes, and I know we agree on a lot of this. There's also the title, 9 Problems, yeah. Gender Equity.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. Since the NCAA can't get their you-know-what together, and this thing seems to have, you know, how do you pay Bowling Green guys opposed to Syracuse guys opposed to Florida guy? What about this? In football and basketball, the NCAA is effectively the minor league system for the NBA and the NFL. Would a possible solution simply be to cut the NCAA out and create a professional minor league system for both sports where kids out of high school who are of adult age could go and get paid based on how good they are or how good they can be and then get drafted out of those leagues into the professional sports and just forget college altogether?
Just a little thing, Dave, and you make great sense. We're just talking about sports. But I still think I loved the college atmosphere.
Me too.
You know, I had like the college atmosphere that went with it, of the pomp and circumstance. The I you know, you can keep NFL Sunday. I the only reason I go to NFL, I mean, I've been to one NFL game in 15 years. I watch them on TV, but I'll go to college games because the atmosphere. And that's the truth. That's the way I feel. So I get what you're saying. Hell, I've always thought that, and I know Northwestern was talking about it. I'd love to be the guy to help start a union, and I know they've talked about it, for college players.
Right.
The college, NCAA, they need a union. Now, I'm all for cutting out the NCAA governing body. I'm not all for cutting out the college experience in itself, because I think it's important. And obviously those experiences you'll remember far more than you do $50 extra that you made, or $100 or $100,000. The money gets spent, the memories don't.
Sean Salisbury hosts the Sean Salisbury Show, 1 to 5 p.m. Pacific, SB Nation Radio. Also hosts Unfiltered on ESPN Radio as well. Sean, you can follow him online on Twitter, at Sean Unfiltered. You're the best, buddy. We'll talk to you next Monday. We still got to get a take from you out of the Oakland Raiders moving and so much more. There's never enough time, but we always appreciate you coming on.
Look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Brother. Sean Salisbury. So, you know, the text line's fired up, too.
There's no easy solution
there
to this.
There isn't.
There's really not.
You brought up abolishing the NCAA, and to me that just tries to ignore a problem that's always going to exist, because even if you go that route, wipe the slate clean, take every college athlete and put them in a minor league, there are always going to be college students that are going to want to play basketball.
Sure.
Or organize something. And before you know it, and it might take 20, 30 years, but before you know it, the students are going to organize. They're still going to be North Carolina playing Duke in basketball. Like, it's all just going to come back.
Let's talk about that next, Nate, because for me, I agree with Sean. The college experience is fantastic, but you said it yourself, and that's what gave me the thought there. You're rooting for the laundry. You're rooting for the school. So, in my opinion, the best of the best are going to be in the paid minor leagues. You're going to have the true student athletes that are playing basketball and football, because if they were good enough, they're going to be making cash in those minor league systems.
And if you're rooting for the laundry,
we can do it in the
Okay. Nate will have first response when we get back. Did you have a word from somebody there?
No.
Or no, you were pointing and gesticulating. I didn't know if I
meant. I just wanted to say something.
I misread your sign. You're first up next. Don't go away. Nate Goodyear is going to slam me around in 4 minutes on the Drive Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, continuing final half hour of the drive, and we've just been carrying on and on, going late and getting good conversations in. A lot of the talk this morning has been paying college athletes, and not so much the old tired take of they should get paid. Well, okay, we're trying to talk about how and the potential issues. But before we get back into that, because we cut poor Nathan off because we had to go to a break here. A word from Katie Christensen.
What are you talking about?
I don't remember.
Think about it right now, and I'm going to have a word from our sponsor. It's 8:35, which means it's time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
Nate, your point when we went to break was what?
Well, you're talking about people rooting for laundry, and it kind of came up. You floated the idea of abolishing college sports, period, and just creating this minor league for people.
At least on the big end, on football and yeah. Men's football and men's basketball.
And all I was really saying is that really would just be kicking the can down the road, because eventually what would happen is there would still be students at these colleges that wanted to play sports. Like, you're not going to be able to abolish intramural sports. And if there's no NCAA sanction at all, if the NCAA does not exist, somebody, whether it's a student or someone, will end up organizing intramural to the point where you still have North Carolina with a basketball team playing against Duke at some point. And eventually, people are going to want to watch that. Naturally, you're going to charge admission. Like, at some point, that's just, you cannot avoid that there will be college athletics played and that people will support that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's where the confusion came. I'm not saying abolish the NCAA at all. I'm saying you continue the
more
NCAA.
More of an investment in minor leagues by the pros?
What needs to happen, honestly, for this to get figured out and for, it's, like I said earlier, there's no easy solution to this.
I honestly think there is. Like,
I don't
so much
because
about
of
equal pay.
I don't because of the women's side of things, but I really think the NCAA has gotten to the point where it's very convoluted and it's almost like its own, like, like mob boss type. You know what I'm saying? Like it's all about them, and it's like everyone works for them, and it's a, there's a hierarchy and and all of this stuff. And it really all it does is benefit them. It doesn't benefit the people that are actually out there, you know, doing the work. So it's more like there needs to be some sort of a players union to advocate for the rights of these players.
Northwestern tried that, and that got shot.
Well, the players did.
Sure.
The school, of all places, didn't support it.
Let me ask you this, Katie, because I think you both have good points. Nate, I do think it's convoluted. I don't necessarily... Katie, to your point about the women's sports, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Let's say that the players are being paid. And let's say players in college sports are being paid based on... We just simply start with... The television revenue will be split 50-50 with the players in the division that TV contract is signed with ESPN or Fox or NBC. Mm-hmm. And that money is then split equally amongst all players on a college football roster in Division
I. This is why I think we're screwing it up. Mm-hmm. Trying to make it equal is not the direction
go. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying when Katie says, I don't know if that would work from the women's end, then my question is, what if it simply was, well, the ESPN contract with college basketball women will net the women $37 a month and will net the men $3,700 a month? Is that not okay for you?
It's the whole point of paying these players, Dave, and it kind of goes back to the original point, is because they don't have the opportunity to make money, not even just off of themselves.
What if you took that away? What if you can now
that's
work?
That's what I'm saying. It's a multi-level solution.
So if the NCAA allowed all players to work.
Just the same way that I argue that the WNBA players shouldn't be making $18 million a year. It's the same argument
okay,
in
so
college.
You're fine with that.
It's what the market dictates.
A lot of people are misunderstanding you, and I thought that's exactly what I thought you thought, which is why I wanted to get deeper. Your problem is not with the women's basketball team getting...
I have a problem with how much the NCAA controls every aspect of these
sure.
people's lives because they pay them money in the form of a scholarship to play a sport for them, but yet that means they control the rest of their lives.
But if women had... The college women had free reign to work wherever they
college
wanted.
College athletes.
Excuse me. But I'm saying the female college athletes and male.
It doesn't matter. Like, I'm
if everybody had
athletes.
The ability to work
yeah.
wherever they wanted and the men were getting paid to play.
But I also don't, yes, I,
you're
yes,
okay
it,
with
take
that
those stipulations off.
Pay inequity.
But then I'm also, and that's why this is so difficult, Nate. I'm also very irritated by the fact I know how much time I put in on the playing field, in study hall, all these things
work.
Are required.
You are
I worked
working.
Three jobs and it killed me. And I was an academic All-American. I don't understand why you go and you lace it up for them and they pay for your, you know, to go to school and they control every aspect of your life. I don't understand why it should be so difficult. Most people can't handle that. And that's why so many of the people I played with didn't graduate because they couldn't handle playing a sport and going to school at the same time. It's not that they didn't graduate. They just dropped out of playing sports. They couldn't handle being an athlete and the amount of time and work that you had to put in as well as going to school.
So what about college athletes having...
Do you want them to succeed or do you want them to fail? You're setting them up to fail right now.
What about college athletes having the ability to work their own jobs? And on top of that, the amount of time that was spent on workouts and on the sport itself was capped.
It is capped right now, Dave.
How does that address the imbalance in a distribution of revenue?
You're talking about between men and women or between sports?
No, I'm talking about I am not trying to make the argument that all players should be paid equally or even across sports.
Sure.
That's not where it's at. There is if you think about it anyway, there's already an imbalance when you think of the value of a basketball scholarship at North Carolina is far more valuable than that of a basketball scholarship even at Cal, who's not a terrible program, but
you're talking about from an NBA point of view?
I'm talking about period.
Because you would argue...
Not from a strict-out tuition standpoint.
Okay.
I'm saying if you're getting offered a scholarship to play at Kentucky, that's more valuable to you as a young college athlete than that same scholarship at Texas A&M or at Cal, or even if the tuition costs more. There's more value there. The only difference would be is that we would simply be actually attaching a monetary value to it. So North Carolina is still going to be a have of a program. They're still going to have tons of money to go out and recruit the Justin Jacksons and the what's his name, Meeks, and those guys like that. The only difference is now they're redistributing it from facilities and coaches, mm-hmm. and they're saying, hey, here's the monetary value. Now they're not recruiting on prestige anymore. They're putting a dollar sign and an actual value on that prestige.
I agree with you when you're talking about high-end players, but what if you're the 11th player and you know you're not going to make the NBA and you're offered a scholarship to Kentucky and you're offered a scholarship to Notre Dame or Stanford? I would make the argument that the Stanford scholarship's more valuable than the Kentucky scholarship.
Why?
Because I'm not making the NBA. And my MBA from Stanford.
Well, then good. Okay, that evens things out a little bit. It does.
It might. And then the other thing of it is, if you make it a pay-for-play thing and Kentucky's going to pay that guy more, now he's got to make the decision. But either way, it's in his hands. Is it more valuable to you to take that cash as the 12th guy on the bench or to get your Stanford education?
Rebrew next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, it is the Rebrew.
Oh,
is brought to you by Mickey Donald's.
Yeah, someone sponsors that. It's McDonald's, guys. New McCafe, macchiatos, cappuccinos, or Americanos at McDonald's. Price participation may vary for a limited time. I'm loving it.
See, Nate's bringing money to our show.
From the 530, I don't want to hear that these kids are overworked by going to school and playing sports. I was in Iraq and Afghanistan the first 3 years of my son's life doing patrols.
How well did you get paid?
Listen, this is so hard because, first off, bless you.
Would you have taken less than your value for that?
Thank you for your service, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts there. That's phenomenal, and I'm way too cowardly to do something like that. That being said, you
Well, and your knock-kneed, so
thank
they
you.
Wouldn't allow you.
But you chose, to do that, and I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong, if you had an offer to play basketball for $2 million a year, you probably would not have chosen to go to Iraq. And if you would have... God bless you, and good for you. Three for Madness happened a long time ago, and has nothing to do with
True.
This. Here's the Rebrew right now. Well, God, I always love to see what Matt George comes up with. Here's the we're going to do a segment because Matt's an A's fan. Matt's going to do A's reports, and we were trying to come up with some production and a theme live on the air. That sounded so
Nailed
much
it.
So much more awesome the second time around.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
That's the theme of the show.
The Rebrew always hurts me.
The Rebrew?
Like we sound like morons.
Well, you don't like, generally people don't like hearing what they sound like. And I think that's almost universal.
I think we sound great.
A's!
Here's us celebrating our anniversary. Well, and finally, Matt George. We're giving him more airtime these days, and Three for Madness is kind of his segment, and well, just like a lot of the free throw shooters last night, he choked. I got to play that again.
What
Matt George,
that?
He tried to talk.
It was like a mouth fart, really.
Here's Matt George.
You got to breathe through your nose.
That made me gag just hearing it.
I need to put that in the replay. Matt,
I saw the whole thing play out, too. Like, I saw the look on his face, like the fear when all of a sudden he needed to talk and then there was something wrong, you know? Brutal.
Or Matt. Matt needs to grab some of Nate's Prilosec.
That's not a Prilosec moment. That was just a not remembering how to
Dave.
Open your mouth and breathe at the same time.
Dave. We had a good conversation today. A couple of them. You know what? We need to get to more of this Tony Romo stuff tomorrow. That's going to be all you're hearing
about
today.
Is Tony Romo the best Cowboys quarterback ever?
He's number one in yards. Isn't he number one in
he's
yards
He's number
and
one in a lot
yards,
of things.
Touchdowns, like completion.
Yeah, everything.
He's got more than 100 touchdowns more than Troy Aikman.
Is he the best
100.
Undrafted NFL player ever?
Ooh.
I'd have to look at that.
Yeah, I got
probably.
A little list of undrafted NFL players. I mean, Tom Brady was barely drafted.
I'll give you an opportunity to take a shot at our esteemed afternoon host. Would you rather have Eli Manning or Tony Romo?
Eli Tony Manning. Romo. I would rather have Eli Manning. Because not only it's not just because Eli Manning has won titles, but Eli Manning is also there every year. He doesn't
healthy.
Get hurt. Healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's there. I'm sorry.
Well, the healthy factor. There's
that.
Argue.
All right, let's get into this Final Four. Gotta remember, we're in the championship, maybe over for college basketball, but the Final Four for our 80s ballot brackets is still going. Go to KHDK.com for details. Matt, give me some music here. Let's get to the last four standing. And on either side of the aisle, you've got Journey. There is a possibility still of a Journey versus Journey final.
Oh, man.
You've got a couple more days to vote. We're extending the voting for Final Four, and then the championship will take place this weekend. Right now, though, Journey's faithfully, the number five seed. Sorry, I'd hit the post.
Nice
there.
Run.
Number five seed. Yeah, very nice run. Taking on the number two seed, Can't Fight This Feeling, the song you're playing right now by REO Speedwagon. 55% to 45%. That thing's actually stretched. Speedwagon was winning when I looked at this thing last night. So that's a back and forth. And that's the Cabbage Patch region, guys. In the Rubik's Cube region, Rubik's Cube versus Trapper Keeper. The former one was a Cabbage Patch and He-Man, by the way. Open Arms, the number one seed, and Purple Rain by Prince, which I barely almost didn't put that in there.
Weak side of the bracket.
That's tied at 50%. How about that?
Again, it's all of these millennials that are now Prince fans, according to Nate.
You're damn straight.
Yeah.
All right. For Matt George, Sean Salisbury, Adrian Ross, who will join us tomorrow at 7:35 and fight with Katie. For Katie Christensen, I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Jim Rome is next, the lowdown noon to 3. Enjoy them right here on your home of the Sacramento Kings. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Cash to car.
Than I ever thought I might. Wait for the drums. Dun, dun. And I can't fight this feeling anymore.